Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we do just come before you, humbled by the greatness of what you are. You are the creator of all things. And yet, you took on flesh, took on the form of a servant, to come to redeem fallen man. We do thank you so, Father. We thank you for the great gifts that you have given us. Not only did you save us, not only did you adopt us, but you took away our sin. We just thank you, O Lord. We give you praise and honor this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we have been going through our studies, we've been going through Romans, and I'd like you to turn there, Romans chapter 12, and we're going to pick it up about verse 6. So as you're finding your way there, as I was, holidays are really a struggle for me because a lot of times it's a topical message, and I hate topical messages. I love it when I can just continuity go through the scriptures, you know, because it's I know what I'm going to be teaching on next. When topical comes up, it's all kinds of stress and strain on top of everything else that's going on. And as I was stressing and straining about it last night, the Lord just kind of spoke to me, and he says, so I take it you've been doing all of the teaching since up to this point. I said, okay. So you got this, right? He says, yeah, I got this, you know. And so, you know, it was kind of like after that, it was just kind of the Lord just, okay, go here. And it was just so cool because it's you know, if you've ever had to get up and speak in front of people, you know what a stress that can be. But when you're up and you're representing God to people and people need to hear from the Lord and not from you, that is, you know, that can be something else. And so I understand being, you know, like in a workplace. And somebody that you look at and the Holy Spirit just kind of touches on you and says, you know what, this person really needs prayer. This person really needs to hear from me. Will you be that mouthpiece? And I know the freezing fear that comes upon you. You want me to speak, Lord? What am I going to say? I don't know what to say. And so, as I had to go through that, know that the Lord is going to give you a mouth to speak. As he told Moses said, I can't speak. I'm slow of tongue, and I can't articulate well. And the Lord told him, he says, who made man's mouth? Who gave him the tongue to speak? Was it not I, the Lord? You see, he qualified it with, hey, it was me, I made. So if I ask you to speak, I'm going to give you the words. And get this, you're not responsible for the results. Man, is that a pressure off of you or what? I'm not responsible for the results? That's great. It's all on him. And that's what gifting is all about. That's what gifts are. And as we were looking at that last week, we were looking in verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Wow, the grace that's given to us. That means the Lord pours out the power to get these things done. He gives us the gift, and then he gives us the empowering to do so. Remember what he told the disciples after his ascension into heaven? He says, wait. Okay, you've had all of this training, such as it is, okay? You've had all of these, you've seen me work, but wait until you are endued with power from on high. And that was the gift that Jesus was going to send us. But today, on Christmas Day, as we call it, we celebrate the birth that the Father gave to humanity, the gift of his Son. So as with your finger here, let's turn to John chapter 3. And we're going to pick it up at verse 1. Now, as we were looking at Romans, we see all of the different giftings that are given to the church. To what? To edify the church. We saw that in Romans 12. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12 about the giftings of how the Lord gifts the church, for the edification of the church, so that we will be edified, so that we will be encouraged to continue on in His Word. Because Jesus says, if you continue in My Word, then you are My disciples. But here, we have to accept a previous gift. You know, it precludes, because we are believers in Christ, it precludes that we have already received the ultimate gift. Everything else, in my opinion, is gravy. But this gift, the gift that the Lord is going to speak with Nicodemus about, this is the first gift that we need to accept. All others are void. They're null and void unless we have received this gift. So let's read. In chapter 3 of verse 1 of the Gospel of John, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Nicodemus noticed something about what Jesus was doing. God was with him, as opposed to the people that he hung with. You see, there was a difference in Jesus that Nicodemus recognized. It was something that the Holy Spirit put on Nicodemus's heart. Search him out. Go to him. Get the information that you need. You see, it was the Holy Spirit that put the longing in our hearts for him. It was the same Spirit that Nicodemus, hey, he was up there in the Pharisee ladder there. He was the ruling class. He could go no higher, but yet he knew that something was missing. Something about Jesus was different. As he touched each and every one of us, so he touches each and every person and asks and says, hey, come, you need to find Jesus. And so by night, in the cover of darkness, he came. In the privacy of his own heart, if you will. In each and every one of us, we've had to do the same thing. In the privacy of our own hearts, we cry out unto the Lord. You know, I know that you are God, and I know that you can help me. I'm going through something. I'm hurting right now. I'm devastated right now. This and this and this and this has happened to me. And I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. And so we seek out after the Lord. We don't know why we call out after Jesus. You see, that's the thing. We don't know why we call out after Jesus. But it was the Holy Spirit that touched us, that called us, and says, this is where you need to go. As I've said many times over and over again, and I'll repeat it, because the Holy Spirit has come to convict us of sin. And so it is the sin in our lives that needs to be dealt with. And then it's the conviction of righteousness, who Jesus Christ is. And then the judgment if we don't follow through with that. And so we must follow through with what Jesus is laying down here. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus comes to our rescue here to clarify. Lord, you need to clarify this for me. I don't understand. How can a man be born again when he was old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He was a teacher, and he didn't know how these things could be. And Jesus is going to kind of give him a little poke here and says, hey, he said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Now notice what Jesus says here. And church, pick this up. Because he's not asking you to preach about something you don't know anything about. He's asking you right here, he's saying, we speak that we do know. Only what you know, speak. Don't try to speak about things that you don't know anything about. If somebody asks you about a topic that you haven't studied about or you don't know anything about, it is okay to say these three words. I don't know. You see? I don't know. Because it's the Holy Spirit's job to teach. Okay? And if it's a particular thing that somebody is looking for, you can just tell them, say, you know what? Let me look that up for you. Let me study that. Or better yet, maybe we can get together and search the Scriptures ourselves to see what it is that God has to say about this particular topic that you're having such a hard time with. Maybe it's a twofold thing that the Lord wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal it to both of you at the same time. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now he's making that reference there. Okay, you remember that Moses, in the wilderness, the people were complaining about God's provision. And God sent fiery serpents into the camp to bite those that were complaining. And so as the people cried out to God for deliverance, He told Moses to make a serpent and set it on a pole in the midst of the camp up on a hill, and whosoever should look upon this serpent would be healed. Now that takes some faith to do that. Oh, I don't believe that serpent can heal me just by me looking at it. Don't I have to have some kind of medicine? Don't you have to draw the poison out or any of these other things? The earthly things that we indeed would think about yet. But this was a testament to God's giving. God's giving a remedy. And that's what the language of love is all about. It's all about giving, not receiving. The Lord receives nothing unto himself. He is only about giving. And in this particular time, we give gifts one to another. And a lot of people will poo-poo that as being, you know, earthly and things like that. But think about it. As you are born again, what happens? You become more like God. You become more like God today because you've looked into his word and because you're filled with his spirit and you emulate what God has done. And so we give gifts one to another, just like the Lord gives us gifts. He gives us gifts constantly. He gives us forgiveness without measure. He pours out his grace beyond, you know, I mean, it's just like your children at the dinner table. You don't sit there and make them beg for their food. You just dish it out to them. Here, eat as much as you want. Okay, that's enough. No, yeah, but you know, I mean, it's something as a parent you just do. And you wonder, well, why do I just do that? Why do I feed these kids? I mean, they don't work. They don't contribute anything to the household. They won't clean their rooms when I tell them. Why should I feed these things? You know, they're just a drain on the household. But that's not the way that God is, you see. We, unwittingly or unknowingly, are a type of God to them. They see what a loving parent does. It gives them the things that they need when they need it. When winter comes along, we give them the winter coats. And we tell them, wear these coats. Don't go outside without these coats. Wear your hats and gloves. Wear your boots. You know, we give them advice, and we know that as soon as they're around the corner, they're shedding all of these things that we've given them and stuffing them somewhere, and they're walking around all cool, but not doing the provisions that we've given them. But as a loving parent, we give it to them anyway. As God pours out his grace upon us, we can choose to embrace it or we can choose to discard it. Just as our kids discard their winter clothes when they need to be wearing them, or they don't play in the rain, or they play in the streets, or any other the good advice that we do give them. God is the same way. He just continues to pour out his blessings upon us. And sometimes he pours things out in our lives that, well, They're there for our lessons. They're there for our learnings. They're not very pleasant. Things happen in our lives that cause grief. And we wonder, why, Lord? Why am I going through this? Because there are things that we need to learn. We need to know of God's graciousness through suffering. Jesus Christ had to learn the same thing. And as our example, we follow suit. Things happen that are bad. You know, we blow it. We lose our temper. We you know, whatever it is. And what do we got to do? We've got to just humbly come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. And what happens? Does he kick us out? Does he make us, you know, do some kind of long, drawn-out thing? No, he doesn't. He forgives us immediately. if we come and we ask for forgiveness, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness so that we can have that fellowship. And that's what He's looking for. When you're at odds with your kids, if your kids have done something and you know that tension is there, it's not because they're not a kid anymore. It's because that tension needs to be healed. Just like our sin separates us from the Father, He wants us to confess those sins. He begs us to forgive. You know, He begs us to confess those things so that He can forgive us. There's only one caveat that the Lord will not violate, and that is our free will. If we choose not to ask for that forgiveness, if we choose not to have that relationship with Him, then we're going to be on the outs with the Lord. Our relationship is going to be damaged. And so, as I prayed before the service started, Lord, just show us those things that are keeping us from a walk with You, those things that we've kept buried, those things that we don't want to even look at. But He wants to take them away from us. He doesn't want us to chew on those things anymore. He never did. These are poisons that we're chewing on. These sins that we harbor, these sins that we will not confess, those are things that are keeping Him from a close walk. Now, when a relationship between your kids is restored, how wonderful it is. You just want to hang with them. You just want to laugh and joke. And this is the way that a family should be. And I love it about this fellowship here. I mean, you know, everybody loves on one another, and we're just glad to be around one another. You know, and sometimes, especially around this time, when the families get together, we start to remember old hurts. We start to remember, gosh, you know what? The last time we got together, Cousin Susie said this and said that, and she's just such a hateful person. I just really hate to be around her, or Cousin John, or whatever. You see, you start dreading getting together with family. But the language of God is give. The language of God is being that witness of what God does in our lives. And we can't shun irritable people because of it. We can't not do that, because we would be definitely hating on those persons by not telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. And how is that accomplished? How do we tell about the love of Jesus Christ with us? By doing what He asked. Live peaceably with all men. Somebody looks at you cross-eyed? Somebody gives you a harsh word? Shrug it off. It's no big deal. Jesus said, "The reproaches of them that reproached you fell on Me." Why? Because you're dead. You have Jesus Christ. You no longer are alive. And it is the Lord that lives within you. And they're not speaking to you. They're speaking to the Lord in that way. And so when it comes time for that judgment to come, you know, it's going to be, why did you talk to me like that? Why? How dare you talk to me like that? I am the King. I am the Lord. You know, but we have to get out of the way. We can't let those things bother us. And it does, I get that. But, you know, and this is some things that the Holy Spirit does for us. He allows us to be in the company of folks that purposely hurt us so that we will learn to forgive, just like we have been forgiven. And that's the exercise that sometimes we have to go through. But whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There it is in a nutshell. That is love incarnate. That Christ came down to forgive sinners. Rank sinners. I think of myself in this kind of thing. I think, you know, what a rank sinner I am, and yet the Lord came down and saved me. You know, I blow it daily, moment by moment. Don't believe me? Ask my kids. They'll tell you. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. First of all, we received forgiveness. But now we're receiving instructions on how to interact with God. You see, if we hide our sin from God, if we try to justify our sin before God, see, this is wrong. This is just going to lead us farther and farther away from God. But those that are walking in the light, those that are walking by the power of the Holy Spirit, want to come to the light and have their deeds manifested, whether they be good or bad. Lord, I've done these things. Did I do them in because you have commanded me to do it, or have I done it because, you know, of my flesh? Are they from you or are they from me? Judge me. You know, if we come before him in that attitude, coming in the light, then we're going to be instructed more positively in that respect, and then the Lord doesn't have to bring bad things into our life because we're looking for instruction. We're looking to have those things manifested in our lives, and so that we can confess those things and have them taken out of our way. Okay, I know that this isn't the way to go. I know that going off on my own, making my own plans, isn't the right thing to do, and that I should be waiting for you to lead me and guide me. And that's what he's wanting. Because Jesus says, if you follow me, you must deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow after me. Now, he's only talking to people who are alive spiritually. You know, make this quite known. If you haven't been born again, then you're spiritually dead as it is, and these things don't apply. But if you are born again, then these things apply to you. You have been born so that you can be a witness for him in this world. That's what the Lord has called you to do in this world. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Making that detour there from having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now we went over those things in detail a few weeks ago, you know, in the last few weeks. But I thought I would just bring them out in how the Lord continues to give. He continues to allow people, generation after generation, he will call a new generation of people to do these particular things that are necessary in this world. Whether exhortation, everybody needs to be exhorted. Everybody needs to be encouraged. That's why we gather together, so that we can be encouraged one of another. But it gets on to verse 9, and we look at what happens as a result of the giftings. Okay, if we can mark a line in the sand here on from verse 8 to verse 9, we see that these are giftings. Showing mercy is a gifting. It's also a fruit of the Spirit as well. And you can go to Galatians chapter 5, 22 and go through that list as well. But in the interest of time, we're not going to do that. But in verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation, or let love be without hypocrisy. You know, don't be smiling in somebody's face when they come to you, a new believer or whatever. But this is most important. This is a very important attribute that we do need to emulate. And so hold your finger here, and we are going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as I promised you we would last week. In chapter 12, we ended up last week as we went through this, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. All of the gifting in the world is good, okay? But it isn't the best, you know? The best thing that you can do is to show forth God's character, okay? Being gifted as a teacher, being gifted as somebody that's excellent in helps or in giving or in mercy or whatever it is, those are all good things, okay? They're not the best things, though, believe it or not. All of these works, if you will, all the things that can be manifested in this life, is not the best thing. The best thing is what Paul is going to speak about here in chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, in the Greek it's agape, All right? I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So he's just kind of gone through the whole gambit of the gift areas. Okay. Without love, you are nothing. And is it your love? Is this something that you generate? Absolutely not. We look at ourselves and he says, am I walking in God's love? Am I talking in God's love? Is my mind centered around God's love for me? Or is it my love for me? Okay? Is it me that I'm walking after? Pretending that, oh yeah, this is from God. Going through the motions. Going through some gifting, if you will. Going through something that people can see. See, this is something that happens on the inside. And it's something that people sense. It's just something that people can sense, spiritually sense about you, that you have the love of God. Is it in your speech? Sometimes it could be. Sometimes speech can be a little, you know, discerning. We talk about, you know, tough love. We talk about mamby-pamby love. We talk about, you know, oh, well, that's okay, you know. And sometimes we have to really get, you know, in somebody's face. Because, hey, look, man, you're blowing it here. You know, you're causing a rift, you're causing strife here. You need to straighten your act up. And that's sometimes love as well. But the love that we're talking about here is a different kind of love. It's the love that you have for your God. It is the love and relationship that you have for your God. Are you in constant need of the Lord? In the respect of needing to have them around. Now, newlyweds or those that are about to be married, there's only one thought on their mind. Their spouse. I can bet you. I can bet you nickel. I could call a couple of them up here and ask them, okay, what's on your mind right now? My bride to be. Or my husband to be. I can tell you that. That's a truism. Okay? I was there. I mean, my wife is still, you know, she's still my love. But you see, that's what's on your mind. Is God on your mind the same way? See, this is what he's talking about here. You can have all the giftings that you want. You can help all the people that you want to help. But if your relationship to the Lord is lacking, then that's just it is. It's going through motions. You're deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourself into thinking that you do God's service. Paul, or Saul at the time, thought he did God's service by persecuting and putting to death those that followed after Jesus Christ. That's how far away that we can get. Now, this guy knew the law, and he knew it was wrong to bring false accusations. He knew it was wrong to kill and maim and torture and murder. Okay? He knew these things in his mind, and yet he justified it in the respect that I am doing God's service, and I'm doing it under the guise of churchianity. That's what he was doing. You see, that's what he was doing. We're not going to get so much into it. But the whole aspect that Paul is going on to is this is the revelation that he encountered. This, out of all of his learnings with the Lord, this is what it boiled down to. Okay? If I don't have love, I am nothing. And so now he's going to, you know, I missed a verse, I'm sorry. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And now he's going to describe it. And I know I've gone through this exercise before, but I thought it apropos to do this again today. Okay? Now if you want to go through, let's go through this really at verse 4. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fail. So, the exercise being, put your name in the place of charity. TJ suffereth long and is kind. Well, I heard something out there. Shall I put somebody else's name in there? Or will you just let me do this? Just let me do this. Yes, okay, you don't get very far to realizing, hey, this doesn't describe me at all. I don't suffer long, as my family will be able to attest to. I envy all the time. Charity, TJ vaunteth not itself. No, come on. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Never. I never do that. All right, thank you. Somebody. But put Jesus in that place. Okay? Jesus. Jesus suffereth long and is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up, doth not behave himself unseemly, seeketh not his own, is not easily provoked, or is not provoked at all, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Jesus never fails. Now that's how the proper way that we can do that. Okay. And so we see, all right, I get this. So what are you trying to say with all of this? Well, Jesus dwells in you. Jesus dwells in you. And the only way that Jesus can be seen in you is if you deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow after him. Then you will be led of the Spirit, as Jesus pointed out to Nicodemus. The wind or the Spirit bloweth wherever it listeth. It will take one somewhere and take another somewhere else and give the word to somebody and gift the body, gift the believers in such a manner to where it edifies one another, where everybody is edified. Everybody in the body can see, okay, this person, you know, yeah, at this particular time he spoke some words of wisdom to me, and man, I was just so blessed. Does that mean we start a cult and follow that person? No. Because each and every one of us can be gifted in the same respect. And we don't always have the same giftings at the same time. The callings and giftings of God are without his repentance. He gives them liberally. He never wants to take them back. He would have everybody to prophesy. Everybody to speak his words, to have his words on their mouth all the time. Why? Because they're truth. Because they're life. And he pours out his gifts upon us. But we get fat and lazy. Okay? And Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 real quick. Did I bookmark that? Because Moses is going to give us a warning. He's going to give the children of Israel a warning that we really need to pay heed to. Because we have been so blessed. We have been over and over and over abundantly blessed. Especially in this nation. I mean, physically. With riches, if you will. With wealth. And Moses in chapter 8 starts off with all the commandments. He's given this is his last will and testament, if you will, to the children of Israel before they go into the land. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And that's what prophecy is all about. Reiterating over and over in your mind the commands of the Lord so that you will observe to do them. You know, and as you don't do them, then you realize, hey, there's a remedy for that. And that's the blood of the sacrifice. We don't do that. We don't need to have a blood of the sacrifice because our sacrifice is Jesus Christ. He has done that already. But if we confess our sins, it's the same exact thing that Moses mapped out, or that God mapped out as he gave us the law. He gave us the instructions on how to live. And as we go into chapter 13 of Romans, Paul is going to really bring this out even more. He's going to say, "Hey, those look in the law, they shall live in them. You'll live in these things." In other words, as Joshua was given the command, "Do not let the words of this prophecy depart out of your mouth. Don't stop speaking about them, for in them is life and instruction in godliness." And thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And I could do a month of sermons off of that one verse alone, but to continue, I'll let you chew on that one at your leisure. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You see? I mean, even in that, the Lord is giving us instructions on how we are to live and how to live well. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. It's interesting that the Lord chose, he quoted more out of Deuteronomy than any other book of the Bible, and yet it's the one that's so neglected. Here he's talking about here, what did the Lord say? Don't give thought to what you're going to wear. Doesn't he use this very thing? Don't worry about what you're going to wear. You know, your fathers dwelt in the wilderness for 40 years and their shoes didn't wear out, nor did their clothes get old. I am able to clothe you. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou may dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for all the good land which he hath given thee. Sounds pretty good. Sounds like a pretty good deal. Almost sounds like the land we lived in now. Okay? We have wealth abundantly. But there comes a warning with this blessing, with physical blessing. Sometimes physical blessing isn't all it's cracked up to be. Because with physical blessing, we know calls maintenance. Those things have to be maintained. Those idols have to be polished. Those things have to be, you know, filled with gas and oil and then, and you know, that kind of things. But he comes in verse 11, he says, beware, beware, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And it's kind of like the world today around this time, at Christmas time, where we concentrate more on the giving of gifts. And we stress about, man, I don't have the money to give any gifts. I'm broke, I'm poor, I'm not able to give everybody such wonderful gifts. And we get the idea in our head, I know, I'll put it on a credit card. And I'll be able to give great gifts to everybody and I'll just be paying for it for the next 10 years. You see, that isn't what the whole aspect of it is. It's about giving of what you are. Not the gifts themselves. When you focus on the gifts, and that's what the Lord is saying here, beware of that. Don't focus in on those things. In the book of Proverbs, it says, if wealth increases, don't set your heart on it. Because the Lord can take it away just as easily as he's given it to you. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Fast forward to 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Love is the key. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, and who brought thee forth water out of the flint of rock, or the rock of flint, and who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, and that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say, and they say in thy heart, my power and my might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now we read in John 3:16 that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish. And so these things won't come upon you. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you shall be saved. Let's go back to Romans. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now these are the things that we look at. Now these would look like works on the onset. But as we start to examine ourselves, as we start to see that these things are the natural requirement or the natural responses of somebody having fellowship with the Lord, as we see in chapter 1 or in chapter 12 verse 1, you know, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, you know, and then we're being conformed into his image, not transformed into his image, not being conformed to this world. We start to see these things and we start to examine ourselves and say, Lord, you know, I guess I've been a little slothful in my business practices. You know, I'm not as zealous as I should be. I'm not as fervent in my spirit. I don't see working at my place as serving you. Change my heart, Lord. You see, this is what it begs us to do. These things are not being done in my life. Lord, why? Pour out your spirit on me, Lord. Make these things happen. For your glory, not for mine. I'm seeing these things. I'm supposed to be a witness for you, but these things are not manifesting themselves in my life. I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. And that's what the whole purpose of humbling the children of Israel was all about, so that they would not be self-reliant. That's what humbleness is, where you say, Lord, I need blank, whatever it is. Fill in the blank. I need something. I need you. I need your Holy Spirit to accomplish the things that you would have accomplished in my life. Therefore, you're denying yourself because you're looking for the Lord to fulfill his will in your life. You're nailing yourself to the cross. You're saying, I have nothing to give except this frame. Use it, whatever it is that you would have the capacity to use. And I stopped at 13 because after 14, it gets a little dicey, especially in my book. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Still working on that one, folks. Still giving that one up to the Lord. Okay? But I can rejoice with them who do rejoice and weep with those that weep. You know, I can get on that same level with everybody. You're rejoicing about something over here. Great. You're weeping about something. I can do that. That's something I can do. But be the same mind toward one another. One toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Man, Lord, you put these things in there. I think I'm doing so well, and then you put this thing in there. You know, come on. You know, really? Now, he's trying to cover all the bases here, you know, lest you would get puffed up. You know, you do one thing, you think you're doing one thing, but I'm really doing it in my flesh. I'm not doing it by your spirit. Repentance once again. Recompense. Okay, I'm going to skip that one. I know everybody else has got this, but man, I'm telling you, I'm really, really struggling with it. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Now, this means in your mind, folks, when you're driving. It's Christmas, Lord. Come on, really? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Be straightforward. Okay? Whatever it is that you're doing, be straightforward, being honest. Don't think in yourself that, hey, if I say the truth, then I'm gonna be fired or this or that and the other thing. But provide things that are honest and let the Lord deal with things. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I send you out with this admonition today when you get together with families, when you get together with friends. If it's possible, live peaceable with all men, as much as it lies with you. Okay? Take the hurt. Therefore, now dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And how often we want to be the hand of the Lord that strikes vengeance, huh? I'm going to be, okay, Lord, you want me to do that? You know, I can see it now. Yep, I've got the sword here. I'm ready to go. Just give me the word. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Can't do it. No. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, we like that part. Okay. Now, how many of you that read that? Oh, yeah, all right. I like that part. I like the heaping coals of fire on their head, you know. This I like, okay. But to do that, you know, and that's not what it's talking about, because this is, you know, it's so out of character with what's being told here, you know. And y'all knew that, you know, but it's just a delight to think about, huh? So something else you need to repent for, all right. Heaping coals of fire on their head is, hey, as you have been, as you're doing things accordingly as the Lord has put on your heart to do, according to His word, give them food, give them drink, give them the spirit that they need to hear. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. They need to see Him in action. You know, I mean, nobody likes to be around people that are really obnoxious and takes advantage of you. But maybe the Lord wants you around that person so they can see Jesus Christ in you. And it may be that their conscience, that as they have been called of God, if they've been called of God, this is going to strike in their conscience. Okay? You don't know who you're going to affect. Especially, you know, I am amazed at the, how should we say it, the repentance of people that are so hard-nosed, that are so hard in their heart, you know. And then after they see the love of Christ, man, their hearts are just flipped around. It's just kind of like, wow. You know, what affected this change? Was it because of my good attitude? My gracious words? You know, because I was so kind and generous to them and they didn't want those coals heaped upon them? No, it wasn't. It was the Spirit of God moving on their hearts because you said that, yes, Lord, I will go wherever it is that you send me. You're going to send me into this, then I will go. Okay? And I will take whatever it is that's coming my way. I know that I'm going to be abused, maybe physically, but surely, verbally. Surely I'm going to be shunned by these people, but they want to see what you look like under this kind of pressure. Because they're getting it all the time. The world does nothing but reject. And you know how funny it is that, you know, people try and try and try. They can get slapped down all the time by a certain group of people, but yet they want to be in this group, you know, because they're the in crowd and they're the ones that, you know, that's where it's happening and that's where I need to be. And we try to get in there and we try to get in there and they keep rejecting us left and right and left and right, whether it's a click at work or what have you. You know, I mean, it's just like this. There's this in crowd that, hey, you know, I'm not a part of that and I need to be a part of that or whatever it is. It's such a trap. Such a trap. But if we're walking after the Lord, we know the Creator of the universe. I know the God that made each and every one of you. I can look out there and see His handiwork, His power in keeping all of these things going. Keeping the sun at a good safe distance so that it doesn't fry us. I wish it were a little closer today, but you know, neither. That's just me, you see. You know, He's got a plan and purpose for things. And that's who I know. I know the one that can save. They don't. So they should be wanting to get into my clique. Because I got the more powerful friend, right? Blinded by the world because they're still spiritually dead. But we have this unction to pray without ceasing. And that can mean many different things. We can rifle up a prayer for somebody, or we can be an example to somebody, or we can repent in front of somebody. Oh, I said this thing, you know, that, you know, or we can, in mid-sentence, you know, after you've gone out and you know that that's a lie, stop. You know what? That's a lie. Lord, I'm sorry. And then tell the truth. You know how weird that would be in front of somebody? They would just look at you and say, what planet did you fall from? Okay? This is Earth. Welcome. You know? Because they would be so blown away by that. They wouldn't know how to handle it. And so he ends it with this. Verse 21. And maybe this should be one of those refrigerator magnets or something. Maybe it'd be a good thing to be hanging on the plaque of a rearview mirror. At least mine. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with God. Did you hear that? Did I misspeak on that one? Anybody care to correct that? No. Because the only good that can come from you is the good that comes through God. And as you let yourself show that forth, then you're going to overcome it. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for... I thank you, Lord, for your patience with me. I thank you for the giftings that you have given this fellowship and your church as a whole to edify, to encourage, to allow us to continue in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent your Holy Spirit to teach us and to fortify us. And Lord, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us because we are yours. We cannot be plucked from your hand. But Lord, we can just rejoice in all the things that you do in this world and in our lives. We pray, Father, that you would use us as we go forth this day. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Empower us, Lord, to do those things that you would have us to do. And help us to remember, Lord, that we are your servants and nothing else. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.